James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio on the BBS network and also simulcasting on eSETI's Stargate YouTube channel. There's so much going on right now. I wanted to cover some of this, but this March, it's definitely going to be the Ides of March, and I think it's starting, it's already happening right now. There's going to be some massive changes happening, a little bit of chaos through all this stuff, but it's a good thing. But what was interesting, there was a tweet by our president-elect, and he said, I recently regained control of the markets. In a few days, I'll put an end to their control of our money through the Federal Reserve. Now, the Federal Reserve, you all know, is not federal, basically. It's the global elite's banksters program. And so he goes on and says, and their bogus international banking system. I've identified all the dangers they have exposed us to over the years. He goes, whether they are visible to the naked eye or not, whether they're chemical, technological, or even metaphysical, I've used our best brains to neutralize them in a project I generically called The Wall. This is what I meant when I tweeted this. So anyway, that's straight from the president's tweet. And, you know, he said he was going to free us up from this cartel, you know, the war on disease profiteers and their manufactured lack that, you know, they've been, you know, holding us, you know, enslaved through dependency for God knows for how long. But looks like he's making good on that. So, you know, I find it hard to believe, you know, that the people just aren't for this. So, again, according to this tweet, ending the Federal Reserve would end the siphoning off of most of the wealth to the Vatican, the Queen, and the global elite. So all those resources, all those taxes, everything that they've been gathering over there, most of it's been going to the Vatican, the Queen, and the global elite. And so basically they toss us a bone back, you know, to deal with our problems. And these are the creators of global manufactured lack, the war and disease profiteers. And such a move would bring worldwide prosperity, which is what we're moving into. And so one would also assume the poisoning of our air, water, food, the land, knowingly by the global elite, as well as the adverse technology, 5G, psychotronics, weather war technology, chemtrails, geoengineering, harmful vaccines, even illegal spying on the American people have been identified, soon to be done away with. Now, Facebook, Twitter, Google, and all other government-created and sponsored social medias will be held accountable for the censorship and violations of the First and Fourth Amendment, you know, the right to free speech and privacy. So before I do a happy dance, you know, the phrase, you know, like the blind man said, we will see, comes to mind. You know, let's pray for the best. This is a massive undertaking with extreme resistance, you know, by a network of deeply embedded, you know, it's deeply embedded in all aspects of society. You know, and especially fake news. You know, we know that program, what's going on, who they're connected to. So I love that old saying. I think it was Gertrude that said, you know, it's not the measure of a man to be deeply rooted in a profoundly sick society. And look around you. And also, too, there's a lot of information coming out about California now. And it's pretty intense. I've got a it's too long of a link to talk about it here, but you know, but most of the opposition is coming out of California, and if you do the research on it, it's just a big crime network, and they're heavily involved in all the drug and child trafficking and everything else. So just follow the money, follow El Chapo's donations, and that'll tell you exactly what's going on. So it's not just about a wall between the border. I think they should actually build a wall on the north side of California and just let them have their socialist programs and see where that takes them. Maybe one around New York too, but let them run their gamut. They've already run their country, you know, their states into abject poverty, and it's unsustainable. It's, you know, their debt is higher than probably the whole debt of America itself. So anyway, there's all these freebies coming with a price, and the New World Order guys, the globalists, they love socialism. You know, when you take all the wealth and the power and you centralize it, and they want control of that. And so you got all these narcissists that are spiritually and morally challenged. They want to be in charge of telling you what to do, how to spend, what to eat, everything. You know, it's like, and that's a plan. And these always end up in tyranny. They end up with a genocidal tyrant, you know, as all socialist countries. The only real socialist countries that are doing anything now have a market-based economy. And they're not really socialist countries. They have very expensive health care and other things, but their taxes are through the roof. So anyway, we need to do a little more research before we jump on the socialist bandwagon, you know, because the New World Order really wants this thing to happen. That's their way, you know, centralize the power and the wealth, take control of it, take the guns away and control the military, and then the people start disappearing. That's the agenda. And you bait everybody with a lot of false promises that you can never fulfill. So anyway, I know I'm going to piss off a lot of snowflakes out there and a lot of Bernie Sanders fans and some of the other people fans, but, you know, I'm not for repeating history, and I'm not against anything. I'm just, you know, looking at the history of the past, and it'd be a good idea not to repeat it. So on that ado, I want to bring our next guest on. We've got Peter Slaughter coming back for a part two, because we missed a lot of information. We only had a 1-hour show, and he had so much information. He just did a show with Rex Baird, and he covered a lot of that information. Well, hopefully we can bring that on this show as well. There's so much information here that we decided to bring him back on again. So Peter's the head of eSETI Australia, and, you know, he's a rapper. He's got all this music under his belt. He's got several books out. He's a man of many talents and probably one of the premier contactees on the planet with the evidence. And so he's got the beef. So anyway, with any further ado, Peter, are you with us?
Yeah, mate. How you going?
Hey, great to have you on the show again.
Yeah, thanks for having me back. And thanks to all the listeners, and thank you to all the people for the emails following up the show as well. So yeah, just want to thank everyone. And what do you want to go into today, mate?
Well, just an update. How are things down under? A lot more. Are you still getting the UFO activity?
Yeah, I filmed something last night. Actually, my brother and I went for a hike last night, and just up at Nail Can Hill. I'm back in Albury at the moment, just calling through my hometown, and I went for a hike on sundown up at the place called Nail Can Hill, where I've had a bit of contact, but this was more on the southwest side, and we just had a massive craft come over that did a multiple lot of power-ups, and so it's, you know, happening wherever I go, and it's not just me, as you know you've got stuff happening there. A lot of crafts coming in at the moment, higher dimensional beings, as you've spoken of as well. It's sort of like the big guys are stepping in at the moment, but, you know, as we've talked about, it's still, you know, it's still up to us to sort of reach them and meet them halfway as well with a dialogue and playing our part in the awakening and healing process.
Yeah, we've had major activity here every night. I mean, last night we went out and filmed for just like 15 or 20 minutes every night just because it's been so cold. And, you know, we'll get 10 to 15 ships, you know, just in 15 or 20 minutes. So we got some really nice power-ups. We have one thing, I call them space ghosts, you know, this, it looked like space ghosts, like this ghost thing flying through the air, passing a ship, and two or three ships in the same frame, you know, at the same time, and they're doing 180-degree turns, you know, power-ups, everything. So obviously these are not satellites. It's definitely an unidentified flying object. You know, whether they're off-world people or our own secret space fleet, you know, that's probably only the space fleet knows. So, but definitely the skies are filled and there is a lot of activity.
With the space ghosts, what do they look like? Do they look like a gaseous sort of plasma light that's morphing?
Well, it almost looks like a meteor in a way, but it doesn't totally act like a meteor. It's got a big field around it, like of energy, and it looks in the night vision, it looks kind of gray, like light gray, and it's cruising. It has a little tail behind it, and we're filming these ships, and this thing, two of them came right through, just missed the ships, and I got one of them on film. The other one was out of the frame, but they look similar to a meteor, but a lot of them will just. They'll turn up, you know, they won't be coming down. They'll turn up, which is kind of bizarre. And
I've seen similar things. What one thing I've seen, it looked like it was a meteor on fire, but inside it was like the bottom of the craft was like half a circle, and on top it looked like a city skyline, and it was an Orion craft, and actually it appeared out of thin air a few meters above a gum tree when I was out at a location. Actually, I took you there. It was a place called Bona, which you laugh about.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but this craft is manifested a few meters above the trees, and it, like, shot vertically straight up. Probably within 5 seconds, it was, like, up in space and gone. But I've been coming across these different Orion groups, and they're very high in densities, probably going from 6, 7 up to about 9. And they are different variations of group collective consciousness, sort of similar to the Andromedans, which you and I have spoke about before, how you got this sort of cohesive collective consciousness. But they're like white light beings, but they'll be a collective, but yet they can be individual at the same time. So it seems that these guys have been coming in a lot lately too. And also they are connected to different densities of councils as well. So... have you been getting different groups or much information? I know that daily you've got different types of extraterrestrials and beings popping in there. What's been happening for you guys over there in terms of information?
You know, mostly we've been getting a lot of information. We've had beings pop in and out, like 13th dimensional beings, you know, the Lakah, and the Jesai, and the Jesai are like warriors. It's a warrior group, and they're 11th dimensional, I believe, and 9th dimensional beings. But the main conversations we're having are, you know, Mother Mary comes in quite a bit. The Ascended Masters have been coming in, and a lot of information from basically the Palladians, Blaji, the 7th dimensional Palladian. She's coming in on a regular basis, and some of the other ones, and the Orion groups are coming in mainly. So most of the conversations now are like hands-on information, that there's hands-on things going on the Earth, and you know, they're going to put an end to tyranny and bring back universal law, basically.
Cool. Yeah, it's interesting, because over here I'm getting a bit of information as well, and one thing that has been sort of trippy for me to experience and get the visions and communication with, and this has been through various different types of beings. I texted you not long ago about these beings called the Lords of Light coming through, and they came through with Shiji, but there was a whole different range of sort of beings that will sort of pop in through Shiji and use her as a vehicle. But there was a lot of information recently about we're going to start to see things differently bleeding through to this reality that we're perceiving right now. So in terms of with the human experience, we can only see a fraction of 0.005% of visible light. And within that, we can still see, you know, we can't see it, but within that's included X-ray, gamma rays, infrared, and a few other different bandwidths. But we're going to start to see stuff bleed through, like other stuff that resides beside us. So we're going to start to see colours more vivid and different from ever before, similar to what we see in the other realms. We're actually going to start to see other beings and crystal cities and structured light cities, things of these sort of nature starting to bleed through to this reality. Now, for some, they'll start to see it faintly with their human eyes, but mainly we're going to actually start to see it in our third eye at the same time as why we're here. So I've talked before with my talks about how sometimes there'll be a group collective consciousness going on with me and whoever's on the crafts, and I can actually see myself down on the ground from their consciousness, or sometimes it will be another facet I'm connecting to. So this is where the nature reality of the third eye, what it can do and what it can tune into and what can be happening in terms of it being a multidimensional, I guess, TV screen that can tune into other realities. This is really going to start to come through the difference of the vibrational change going on.
Yeah, they're getting a lot of film footage of that. And what I've noticed is, you know, the cameras pick up more of the electromagnetic light spectrum than the human eye. And so you'll see a lot of this on cameras. But the problem is when it does come out, everybody goes, that's Project Bluebeam or that's Photoshopped and things like that. So if you don't have an eyewitness to go along with it, you know, or multiple eyewitnesses to go along with it. But even then, it could be, you know, the government playing around. But I really don't think that's the case. I really think the veils between worlds are coming down, like you said, and there's crystalline cities, you know, right over other cities. Like there's another world, another dimension happening just, you know, right above some of the other cities that we have here.
Definitely. And like I've seen a few Pleiadian sort of they're crafts, but they do look like cities structured out of light. I've seen this in a couple of places around the world when I've been in certain areas. And as you know, the Orions are monitoring right now with a few of the chaps that you know up there as well. But, you know, just look at even what you captured a couple of years ago at the East City Ranch in terms of that pyramid light structure, which you guys could sort of see something. You saw something with light going on, but when you look through the infrared, you can see it was almost like a pyramid light structure outside of Mount Adams. And I think if anyone's going to start to really see this happening first, it's probably you guys at the ranch, just for the fact of that is a multidimensional city in there or airport, and there is other things going on around that whole area of Mount Adams. So you guys will probably start to see some of this bleeding in first.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there is some interference. I know there's some government stuff going on, and they've been playing around with lights and flying helicopters over with their headlights on, you know, on whisper mode, and they turn off their running lights and things like that. But each time we bust them, you know, it's very obvious, especially the light coming from it. It's dirty light. It's not starlight or the light from the ships. But it's very obvious when these guys are pulling their stunts. But the other things happening, you know, we're seeing these ships coming in. Like I filmed a ship last night that was covering the sky so fast. I couldn't even, I mean, it's going several hundred thousand miles an hour probably. But we've actually done the math on some of these ships, and they are going, you know, 700,000 plus miles an hour. I think some of our fastest satellites are around 20-something, I think 25, 26. I'm not sure, somewhere around that range, but I think they're around 16 to 25, depending on their orbits. But they don't quote me on that. But anyway, these things, when you see a satellite, they're just poking along. I mean, they are so slow. The space station, too. When it goes by, you know, it's obvious. And we have all the charts, you know, we have all the apps to look and see what it is to make sure it's not a known object. But when you see these other things making right angle turns at several thousand miles an hour and doing crazy stuff in our atmosphere, you know, treetop level, massive ships, treetop level, powering up on command, you know, things like that, it's just, there's no way, you know, there's no way something unidentified is not happening here.
Yeah, definitely. And it's funny you say that about the craft you filmed last night, because the one that I filmed when my brother was with me, man, this thing was quick. Like, you know, satellites, they can take a few minutes. Even the space station, usually they can take maybe from a minute and a half, depending on the angle, up to maybe 5 or more minutes. And as, you know, you and I know, we know what we're looking at after, especially how many years you've been doing it. Yeah. We do get a lot of questions, you know, but it comes down to it. And I don't have a go at people for asking certain questions, because this is about education. But at the same time, when the critics do come out, again, you've got to use discernment and you've got to ask questions. But it's like, do you think after, especially now for 10 years myself, that I don't know what a satellite or a space station is? I probably have seen more things in the sky than most people on the planet. And, you know, whether it's meteorites, space junk, different types of exotic technology that we've even got that still has human traits in the way they maneuver and do what they do, or they've got navigation lights. Mm-hmm. You know, we know what we're talking about, and it's just for people to know that as well, because so many times people would just put it down to, you know, the most obvious things, which are, you know, planes, helicopters, satellites, but as if we're going to put our reputation on the line, and especially with the knowledge that we've got. And, you know, look at what both yourself and I have done. Like, I did it in Italy, and I've done it here as well. But, you know, you on Paranormal State, you said what time and what area the craft was going to come. They had satellite trackers, bang. The craft appears exactly where you said they had trackers out. It wasn't on the tracker. You know, these are the sorts of things people got to understand, because it does show that there is a dialogue between you on the ground and what's up in the sky.
Yeah, I know in the movie, The Uncontrolled Narrative, we actually brought witnesses on that actually verified that. I gave them, I said, watch, you know, and I told them exactly when it was going to come over, where it was going to come from. And we brought the witnesses on, you know, in the Uncontrolled Narrative, that documentary. But again, you know, like all of these, I did it with, I did it with Fox News and ABC and Paranormal State and all these guys that come up here. And, you know, their cameras are ready to go. And I said, you know, I'll say either look to the east or look south or whatever, and tell them what time. And every time they get the ships.
Exactly. And, you know, this is just something for people to think about, because how this does work, as I've spoken before, is the universal language is thought. And so through thought, through letting go, and a lot of the time, you know, people want to connect with their guides, and anyone can connect with their guides or their star family, whatever people want to call these beings. But at the same time, it's letting go of the baggage, letting go of trying to control it, because when you let go of trying to control it and let things flow, this is where things can happen, like what you and I are describing, knowing where the crafts are going to rock up, what they're going to do, and many other things and information can come from it. So this is something not just you and I can do, but it does take a bit of practice, because you've got to really observe your thoughts, and you've got to clear negative influences, like you've talked a lot about, which is something that, you know, a lot of people don't take into consideration until they start to work out, you know, maybe they have an attachment, that their thoughts aren't theirs, that they're having negative feelings. And so, and it's great, because on eSETI Australia and also eSETI.org, there is, you know, the clearings for people to do themselves, because this really does come down to a war on thought that's going on. But once people can recognize their thoughts, what they're capable of in terms of multidimensional aspects and what they can manifest here from the light blueprint, which is, you know, it's amazing what can happen. But did you want to go into this a bit in terms of what tools and techniques people can use themselves? Because I think so much stuff out there is at the moment talking about what's going on, which we're covering as well, but also what can people do to play their part in this awakening process?
Yeah, I agree. I just want to talk a little bit about what you were just covering, that, you know, people need to realize their concept of God and everything they've been taught is off, you know, and they're worshiping these bearded gods and, you know, Greek gods, Egyptian gods, the Anunnaki and things like that. And they don't realize that in truth, whatever name you want to give it, God, Creator, Great Spirit, is the one consciousness that encompasses all consciousness and all planes and dimensions throughout the multiverse. And the access point is the soul. The soul sits right next to the heart, and it's through the heart that you connect to the soul. And the soul has all the memories of everything you've ever done, and it's connected to the source. And when people understand this, when they expand in consciousness, they're going to connect with these higher dimensional beings, and they're all in the unified field as well. They're just using more of it. But we have to realize in that unified field, there's extremely benevolent, godlike beings in it at the highest levels. And at the lowest levels, there's some discarnate spirits and some negative ETs and things like that. So discernment is in order, but it's very important to realize, as you're saying before, is we connect through our own consciousness to these beings. And if you're expanded in consciousness, these beings are going to be a part of that consciousness. And it's up to us to take the, you know, personal responsibility and heal the unseen negative influences and clear that out of our consciousness and hang out with the benevolent ones and see what they have to offer, you know, what kind of healing or information they have to offer.
Definitely. And, you know, in the start, you know, I've admitted in the past, I was a bit ignorant to all that side of thing in terms of, before I was known for the UFOs, I actually used to do paranormal investigations in some of the most haunted locations in Australia. Uh-huh. And through that, I got some, I'd say, my butt kicked, and I got some, lessons in what can actually be out there and what things can do in terms of what we can call the lower light, the archons, the demonic type stuff, and the trickster being as well. And so these are things where I just want people to know that whether they think it's a joke or not, clearings is something that really need to be thought about, because if you just open yourself up at Sky Watchers or going out, putting the thought out to connect, that like this will manifest something to connect with you. But like James says as well, and it's been a big teaching for me, what the mind seeks is what the mind connects with. So if you're just open to anything, anything can pop through. And I've seen lives ruined by this. I've seen possessions happen, not just from like people at Sky. I've had people come to Sky Watchers that, I'll be clearing while we're doing it because they haven't been taught or know exactly about how this, the inner workings of all this. And it's not just with Sky Watchers. It's when I've, gone and done clearings for people or gone to homes that have, sometimes they say poltergeist activity, but then I actually work out they're having ET contact. And sometimes when they think they're having ET contact, they're actually got residual or intelligent activity, meaning of a paranormal nature happening there, because there is this big overlap. So being able to stay in your own energy fields and connect with something that's like-minded or even in a higher scale, and there is no hierarchy in this, but in terms of an advanced civilization, the intention's got to be set along with clearings to be done, because, I've seen some lives ruined from people just being opening up to anything. That it can lead to drug and alcohol abuse. It can lead to abuse in many different forms and affect families on a big scale. So that's something that really needs to be looked upon for people that have an interest in what we do.
Yeah, I mean, there's certain people out there that are saying open wide and let anything come into your body and take over your consciousness and your body. We won't mention his name. Everybody knows who that is. But to me, that's the height of irresponsibility and ignorance, to make statements like that. And it does get people into trouble. And a lot of people have come to me for counseling that were just a wreck. I mean, they were a total mess. They had multiple entities on them. They were hooked into gray reptilian hybrids and reptilians and all this stuff. And it was just their life just went to crap. They end up losing their marriages, their jobs, everything because of this. And it's sad, that's going on out there. But, people need to wake up and take personal responsibility for their world and what's going on and realize it's a multidimensional world. And don't give your power away to external sources, which is the worst problem right now, is people are so programmed. They think they're going to have some UFO messiah. I know you and I, neither one of us want to be messiahs in that case. And they want somebody to lead them, just like we talked about socialism, they want to take all the power and the wealth and centralize it and then be told what to do. And they think they're going to get all these freebies and everything from it. And it just doesn't work that way. You never want to give away your power, or your assets or anything, to external sources. Basically, if you're doing well and you have a lot of extra money, pass it on, help your brother, help your sister, help clean up the planet. I think that's kind of mandatory for an enlightened person. But this other thing where all these people want to be taken care of and they want everything free and they want all that stuff, it doesn't work the way they're doing it. Now, that is a possibility as we evolve. We will have the free energy, we'll have these replicator machines. We're going to have all this crazy technology, med beds and everything else. But that's going to come through the private sector. It won't come through governments. I mean, why hasn't it come through governments now? Because they've been corrupted. And so it's like that's not going to happen, the way they're trying to do it. It needs to, we need to go back to the republic, a free market system, and stop any suppression of these technologies. And then we will take a quantum leap, in consciousness and on every level, the whole civilization will take a quantum leap in evolution.
Yeah, it's interesting how this is playing out, because as strange as it sounds, one of my latest communications with Shiji, she was talking about, she talks about the Archons and everything that's part of that network, meaning the Draco and the Draco Greys as well, the Reptilian Greys, yeah, and parasitic thought forms. But what she was saying was really interesting in terms of they have their place, and they too have been created by Source, but there's a payoff from this, as strange as what I'm about to say sounds. Now, the opposite of what we call the angelic realms is this lower light. They are angelic type in some ways, but they serve this artificial intelligence that they actually created. Well, actually, it serves them to keep this frequency for them. But it's strange. It's almost like Source is bipolar, but it's not at the same time. And it's really intriguing the inner workings of Source. And why I say this is because if you can understand that everything is a facet of the overall collective, and I'll go into what's outside of this universe soon too, but if you can look at things like that, you can see how the Archons, the Lower Light, are also a facet of Source. And what their place is, she said, as, and this is not condoning the wars, the all the negative things that have happened to all of humanity and other beings throughout the cosmos and different planes and dimensions, but what it does is it leads us to a higher level of consciousness to get out of it. And so basically, if we can look at these things as helping, it's like Albert Einstein says, actually, is the best way to put it. You can't solve a problem with the same level of consciousness that created it. Therefore, you need to think, you know, come at things from a different level. So basically, this, what's going on for humanity and everyone in the universe right now, we are at a point now where we've got to think outside of the box, which means we have to raise our consciousness to overcome these obstacles, or what seem to be obstacles that stop us from our evolution individually as a collective. So if we can understand that and you can see the bigger picture, you'll see how the lower light serves its purpose. But again, the lower light, they're going to be healed and uplifted from this. They're going to be brought back to their natural state. The natural vibration blueprint of this universe is love. And I was shown the blueprint through an experience where everything started out as these purple-hued dodecahedrons on a microscopic subatomic level. And then it zoomed out to like trees and grass and the earth, and everything was made up of billions of these purple-hued dodecahedrons, which is funny enough, the same colour of Metatron, and I think it may even be the electron I was seeing, which, you know, is in everything as well. But when I zoomed out from the earth, I saw the moon, the other planetary bodies with their satellites, and then I saw the sun, then I saw the Milky Way galaxy, and then I saw this universe, everything was a purple-hued dodecahedron. Now, when I was pulled out of this universe and I saw the other universes, they too were purple-hued dodecahedrons, and they were their own universes with their own planes and dimensions. Now, over time, what I've come to understand is if you can imagine the universe as your body and all the souls in it are different cells in your body, that's how everything makes up this one consciousness. We are all cells, our higher self, the Elohim, is all cells of this one body. And then think of it on a bigger scale. If you can imagine your body and each cell is a universe with its own planes and dimensions, that shows that this universe, this source, is actually a cell of a greater intelligence, which is mind-blowing, and I had to stop there because this was showing me the complexity, yet the simplicity of how big and beautiful and amazing this existence is. But they did show me that once we get to a certain state of evolution on a soul level, we can either split ourselves up and incarnate in multiple places at once here, even though everything's one consciousness, or we can divide off like a cell out of this universe and create our own universe. So This is just a perspective, and things that have been shown that just actually show how big and complex, but yet simple things are real, you know, what's going on.
Yeah, some of these beings that we connect with are actually whole universes. And one would be the creator god of the Milky Way galaxy, you know. Another one would be, the creator god of that the Pleiadians, you know, connect with. And, you know, it's really interesting because there's all these beings, but I don't want to push some hierarchical thing. They're just levels of frequency. They're beings that focused on love and joy and bliss until they transcended, you know, everything. And became one with the source. You know, they're just different levels on that vibrational continuum. And the thing I like to stress is that we are multidimensional beings existing on a vibrational continuum. And we're not just a body and not just a personality, as the global elite would like you to think. And we're not locked into the first three chakras, survival, sex, and power. You know, we have all these other aspects to ourselves, you know, and we need to get into the higher frequencies and focus on the higher thought, in order to transcend, you know, this world. And then the energy just emanates from you, and it transforms your circumstances or your environment. But I wanted to talk about one thing Blaji once. I'm not even going to mention this being's name. I know what it is. I don't even want to think it. But there's these beings out there, and they look like a prune-faced turtle, kind of without a shell, the best way I can explain to them. Very, very powerful beings. And I had a run-in with this guy, this being, and I was feeling everything, every sadness, anger, jealousy, betrayal. Everything was coming up, and I was throwing all my light at this being, and we had a battle going on for quite a while, and nothing's working. And then finally I just surrendered, and I surrendered to the source, and I just said, I surrender, and it went away, you know. And I go, wow. And I was trying to control it and dominate and clear it and everything, and only till I surrendered did it to the source, it went away. And then I asked her about these beings. I go, what the hell are these beings? I mean, that was the most nasty experience I've ever had, you know, like all, everything that ever happened to me, all sadness, all everything was just in my face, amplified 1,000-fold. And she said, that's why they exist. And they said that when you reach a certain level, it's almost like something out of Star Wars, you know, where you go into that cave or whatever, and you have to meet your necromancer, your worst fears. But that's what this thing was doing. And it was just, I would throw all this light and energy at it and just absorb it, you know, nothing would happen. And then so finally I realized there's nothing I can do. And I said, I give up, you know, and then it quit. But I realized that. She said they have a function. I said, what's that? And she said, they're like initiators. And when you reach a certain level, you have to face all of your wounds and traumas and fears and judgments and everything before you can go to the next level. And that's what these guys do. They come in and they said, okay, this is level 5 or whatever. and you know, I wish I would have had a little heads up, you know, a little warning maybe, but there wasn't. But I realized that, you know, some people call it the dark night of the soul. There's all kinds of different names for these experiences, but they do exist. And sometimes we're wrestling with angels, and sometimes we're just wrestling with our own crap, you know, and sometimes there are unseen negative influences. So I always do clearings and then deal with what's left.
Definitely. No, that's a good point. It's funny you mentioned that story. I had something similar once occur, and it was a few years ago. It actually led me to not even go into my bedroom for a year, or not to sleep in there. All I'd do is go and get clothes in there, because I ended up meditating every night for over a year after this experience. And what happened was, I'd just gone to bed, and I used to have the blinds slightly open with the street light looking in, just so there was a bit of light I could see in the room. And as soon as I went to bed this night and I pulled up the covers over me, I just felt the worst energy I've ever experienced. Now, I've seen the big Draco reptilians, I've seen the Archons, I've seen a lot of different things, but the worst energy that I have come across yet was these grey reptilians. Uh-huh. And when I opened my eye, because I could feel this energy, to my right about a foot away, and this thing had to have been 3.5 foot with a massive head. This eye looked like an American football on an angle, but probably maybe 6-7 inches in length, but it was like an oval. Was this yellow? I could see it was yellow. It was this massive reptilian eye. And then I looked at this thing and I could see scales all over it, but it sort of looked like a grey. And I was so petrified. It felt like the worst, to this day, it's the worst feeling I've ever felt. But what was weird was, after maybe 10 seconds or more, I don't know, I started to feel sorry for this being, and with the state it had to exist in, like the energy it was giving off, I was like, this is just, you know, yeah. I started to have compassion for it. But all of a sudden, this thing turned into smoke and just dissolved. It just, you know, dissipated. It just vanished. And I could feel that when I had that feeling for it, feeling sorry for it, and I started giving it like a love hit, it freaked out. It just didn't know what to do with it. But that led me to not even go in my room for nearly a year and sleep in there, because it actually was like a big lesson for me in terms of, you know, this is what we are up against as a collective and individually.
Yeah, the tall grays can do that too. They can focus energy like pure dread, like you're going to die in the next moment. And I've had encounters with those guys, and I had to break the link and just say, not mine. This is not mine, and break the link and call on the higher beings. And then once you break that link, you know, they're in trouble. They know that, and they get out of there really fast because they break very easily. They're not very strong. if they can't control you, they want to get out of Dodge quickly.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. But, you know, it's good for us to cover some of the struggles that we go through, because it shows people that we're just human like them, having the Earth human experience, and that, you know, it does take work. It's not like just me and James overnight, especially James, with the amount of years you've been doing this, how long I've been alive. Like, man, it's gone into a lot of work, self-mastery work that I know that you do on a daily practice. And it's something that I've encompassed into my routine with meditation and Qigong and Yigong and karate, as well as other disciplines. It does take discipline. It does take to make a routine of it. And it does take that it does need to be certain things need to be a daily practice.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I was talking about health. We were talking about healthcare and things like that. You know, everybody wants Medicare for everybody. Well, it's a failed system. You know, it doesn't work. And allopathic medicine is a failed system. You know, if you break a bone or something, yeah, you get into an accident, go and get the thing patched up. But as far as healing and other things and prevention, and, you know, they fall so short, and they actually won't allow natural, inexpensive cures. And a lot of the technology now, the healing technologies, you know, such as Rife and MedBeds and all these other kind of technologies, which is sad. But, you know, you look at that and you go, why would you want everybody to have access to a failed system? If you fix the system and actually heal people, they wouldn't need access to it. And then your costs would go way down, and you could have healthcare for everyone. And I think that's where we're going anyway. But I do think everybody should have healthcare, but let's make it real healthcare. Let's have prevention factored into there, and let's clean up the environment, clean up the food we eat, and get to the real causes, you know, and eliminate the stress. And then you've got real healthcare.
Definitely. And like, that's one thing to bring up too, is the environment and the earth. Like, it's going through its process now at the moment as well. And we do need to start really cleaning up that which we have done. But just interestingly enough, I was just thinking as you were saying that, I think it was on Forbes magazine on the website the other day, they've actually started to work and create a replicator doing everything that you and I have spoke of, which we see on the ships, meaning it can 3D print anything. Anything you can think of, it can actually do it. So we're getting into that realm now where, you know, the thing that we've got to make sure with the food and certain things like that is that it's got the nutrients. It's not just printed. It's not like GMO food that just fills you up and it's got no nutrition to it. But we're getting into that age now where with certain technologies, we can go back and rectify some of the things of the past that the Earth humans done to Earth. But we really need to focus on cleaning up our own backyard first before we go out into space and really connect with these otherworldly beings. There will be dialogues, there will be a council and all that, but it's amazing how far the technology is starting to come out in the public domain. All this stuff's old news. Like, it really is old news. You know, nuclear technology goes back, you know, nearly 100 years now, probably like 80 years or whatever it is, and people are wanting to go to different variations of, you know, Tesla energy. Now, Tesla energy is great, but still, that's just masking up what we really have full potential. Now, again, there's no emissions and certain things with that, but in terms of power output and what we're capable of, the other technologies that are out there are just absolutely amazing. But as the beings told me, you will only have access to and create that which your level of consciousness is in alignment with. That's why the reptilians, for example, have only picked it. Yes, they've got some advanced technologies, but they're not going to get any better because of where their consciousness is at. So, you know, that's where if we do have these technologies out and as a collective we're at a certain level of consciousness, we won't bomb each other or, you know, blast each other with it or destroy each other or do negative things with it because of the level of consciousness you're at. Like, people go, what about rape and murder? It's like, well, if everyone was at the same level of consciousness and they rise to the occasion, as you say, the things of the past traumas needing certain drugs because, you know, they want to mask what's going on in their life and dealing with things, these things don't exist with a higher level of consciousness because it's been worked through and it won't no longer exist. But first, we really have to put in the work.
Yeah, you know, there's technology. I was talking about that earlier. We have technology right now, basically water technology, and I've seen it, and I know who has it and everything else, where you can use water for fuel, period. It's no problem. The military has it now. They're starting to use it, and it goes on, and that's just a base thing. And then there's a certain guy that took a coal-fired power plant and took a couple of Rolls-Royce engines and hooked this technology up to it. And now he's generating electricity clean, efficiently, fuellessly, the water is a fuel, basically. And that's in operation right now. And it's tremendous amount of energy. Now you could take that device and get rid of the nuclear generating stations and put that device in. That's the dinosaur approach. But he also has other, like zero point energies that would run the dynamo at the nuclear plants, and you wouldn't have to have nuclear waste and all the other problems as well. You know, that's a major source. And, you know, you could run your cars on this stuff, but let's go to the next step. Let's get outside the box. You know, why do you, first of all, you don't need fuel. You could use this for fuel. Second of all, if you went to these other motors, you would not only not need fuel, you'd have anti or counter gravity. And third of all, you wouldn't need tires, you know, and then I could come and see you and have breakfast with you and go see Greg in Japan and have lunch with Japan, you know, because these things propel things instantly several thousand miles an hour. All this technology is on the planet right now and more. We have this technology now. It's getting ready to be released, and that's where we need to go. We need to really think outside the box and eventually become spacefaring because there's no reason why we can't. The technology is here.
Exactly. And it's funny because as far out as this sounds, like it's pretty full on, but what I've been shown lately too through Shiji and the Lords of Light is these old pyramid structures and obelisks, and we're talking about the ancient ones, these can come back into being turned on. And if these devices are turned on from a level of consciousness, once we reach a certain peak again, we will be able to walk into certain pyramids and walk outside of pyramids in Orion, in Sirius, in the Pleiades, in other star nations. Like, we can literally walk into them and come out. They've got healing capabilities. They've got free energy capabilities. There is so much that the old structures that actually are a network that grid up around the Earth, whether it's South America and Australia, Egypt, anywhere you can think of, there are these ancient structures that they're dormant right now. Now, some of them are giving off energy readings. Like, you know that Mount Adams is giving off more energy than the Egyptian pyramids, as we found out through, I think John was showing was the map of your place anyway with Mount Adams, how much energy that area is giving off. These are the things that at the level we can't perceive because we haven't got the consciousness to understand it. But they were telling me once these grids are turned back on, all this stuff is just not even going to be worth even thinking about because you'll be able to – there's these natural portals that are in certain places in the planet, you'll be able to walk in them and direct your consciousness to where you want to pop out, and you'll pop out of the portal near the location you want to go to. Because they're not everywhere, but they're in a lot of different places. But at the moment, we are feeding this other grid through the cities, through the roads that are actually like wires, and then we've got these structures on top of shopping malls and churches and mosques and everywhere that feed the Archon grid. Once this grid's broken down, the old grid will actually be activated, and what we see as problems now will no longer be even a reality for us because we'll have access to a higher level of consciousness and, you know, natural sort of technologies, I guess.
Yeah, we have to transcend this survival and lack and competition program. All those programs are perpetuated by, you know, the whole social networks, social media, everything, schools, everything are perpetuating these programs. And once you break free of that, you realize, you know, nature's totally unlimited. You know, there's no limit in nature. It's an unnatural thing to have these limitations. And once these new technologies like med beds and things, you know, let's give everybody a free pass to a med bed and totally restructure their whole body and, you know, take them back to 25 again if they want. You know, what would that do to healthcare? You know, yeah, I'd put a lot of doctors out of work, but hey, let's give them the technology and say, hey, look, you know, you don't have to do all this crazy crap so you can drive a Mercedes and have a fancy boat. You know, everybody can have a Mercedes and a fancy boat. And you know, David Steele did some great work on this, and he talked about how everybody on the planet could live, you know, mid to upper lifestyle if we would get into open source management and things like that and change the way, you know, and all this lack is manufactured. It doesn't need to be this way. And I think that's why some of these people are getting a big foothold, like, you know, Occasional Cortez and all these other people, Cortex, I mean, but they're getting a foothold because they're making all these promises, but they can't deliver them. They have no idea how to deliver these promises. And I think people in their heart of hearts want this, but socialism always leads to tyranny. That's not the path to go. And they don't understand this because they're just the mouthpiece for the tyrants. The tyrants are actually funding these people. So if you fall back, it's like take Antifa, for example. You know, Antifa, they're anti-fascist, anti-Nazi. Well, Soros is funding them, and he's a Nazi, admitted Nazi. You know, he even admitted his best time of his life was when he worked, you know, turning his own people, you know, to the Nazis. You know, so that's it. You know, and fascism, I mean, they are fascist. You know, you can't talk to them. You can't give a different point of view. You can't have a conversation with them. And that's fascism to the max. And so all these anti-groups, you know, these separation groups and are funded by these very same people. And a lot of their politicians are trying to appeal to the masses and everybody else that have been downtrodden for a long time. And that's how they're getting their footing, you know, by appealing to the victims, you know, and the masses. But they don't realize it's already in place. The solution is already in place. There's going to be a whole different monetary system, which will be temporary. Eventually, we won't need money at all. But we're going into a whole different system, and it's all in place. And the very people, the white hats and everybody else that's putting this system into place and putting an end to the total uneven dispersal of wealth, the manufactured lack, the global elite, the banksters, all their programs, you know, that these people are actually fighting against them. And I'm just going, are you serious? You guys are so brainwashed. The very people that are putting their lives on the line every day to end the corruption and all the other nonsense are, you know, you're actually fighting against them. And they go, well, I'm a Democrat. And I said, well, so was the Ku Klux Klan, you know, and that party. You know, they were all Democrats, you know. And, you know, Democrats voted against everything, you know, given the freeing the slaves, you know, the right to vote, all these things. They have a long history of voting against them. So it's like, do some research and figure it out, you know, step out of the plantation, step out of the box and look and see what's really going on, because there is a movement in place, and it is for the highest and best good of the people on the planet. I just got my cue. We're at 55 minutes, so I've got to sign off, unfortunately. So what are you up to? What's next on your agenda? And also, what's the best way that people can get a hold of your information and your books and things?
I'm just going with the flow at the moment. I'm pretty sort of bogged down doing readings and that sort of thing. So that's sort of the main focus I'm going through that at the moment. I will be again in the States soon to come and see you. And we've got the big conference coming up, and the book is Shiji 1, 2, and 3. It's not up on the website at the moment because I'm getting them re-edited. I've got new covers, and that will be coming out soon. But people can go to petermaxwellslattery.com, or they can go to ecityaustralia.org, and there's links to all social media there. So, yeah, just remember you're all amazing, powerful beings, and thank you, James, so much for having me on, mate. And it's been a pleasure.
Awesome. Hey, well, keep up the great work. Just heads up, we do have the 4th of July conference coming up, and we've got Lauren Pritchard, we've got Peter Maxwell Slattery, Jordan Sather, Ken Rolla, John Vivanco, Barry Littleton, Dr. Michal Ledwith. He's a Vatican theologian. We've got Aurora, the Flying Rainbow Lasagna, myself, Ben Chastain, and Rob Kuntz, and they're on the Edge of Wonder, Allison Koh. We've got Corey Good as well. And so it's still more. There's more coming. So amazing conference coming up 4th of July weekend. Just go to eCity.org and check it out. Anyway, have a great evening. Good night.